Why stay in as senator? You know, what about the times today and the position still makes you want to remain in the Senate?
Well, I'm a policy wonk at heart. I am lifted by the intellectual challenge of the Senate. Before noon in one day, I could be dealing with a missile defense system. And how are we going to monitor privacy on the Internet? And what about the operation of our airports? And then how in the world are we going to bring down the health care costs in the Medicare system? And that's all before noon. So for someone who has always enjoyed the intellectual challenges of public policy, it's a dream job. There are parts of it that are very difficult. The schedule is hard. And obviously campaigning in modern America for a U.S. Senate seat in a very challenging state in terms of the philosophy of Missourians, that part is hard. But at the end of the day, I'm incredibly blessed by the opportunity I've had to serve this state I love. And I would love the opportunity to go back and continue work on some of the areas that I feel like we've been able to make some good progress on over the last 6 years.
I mean, a lot of your campaign has been trying to show that you represent Missourians much more than your opponent's extreme views. Could you talk a little bit about how you do embody what a typical Missourian views as a priority?
Well, I'm in the middle. I'm a moderate. I'm proud of that. My opponent would consider that an insult. I'm in the middle, and he's on the fringe at the very, very edge. He would be one of just a handful of senators voting against some, I think, things that Missourians want the government to do, like our farm bill, like making sure that Social Security and Medicare are not privatized, making sure that we still can have student loans. I mean, obviously, for your listening audience, I don't need to explain what would happen if the federal government got completely out of the education business, including Pell Grants and federally backed student loans. Those are all Todd Akin's ideas, is to not only blow up the Department of Education at the federal level, but everything that goes with it. And that would have a dramatic consequence on Missourians. It'd be painful for Missouri families, and obviously would be devastating to the middle class in this country. So I think Missourians want someone in the middle. I think they want someone with an independent judgment. I've got an awful lot of objective proof points of where I've been willing to stand up to my party, especially when it comes to shrinking the size and scope of federal government. I certainly understand that we have to spend less money, and I've worked hard on that. But government's not the enemy. It's not the answer, but it's not the enemy. Todd Akin believes that government is the enemy. And that's where we have a big difference. So I think most Missourians want that moderate approach, someone who will work in a bipartisan way, someone who doesn't have a rigid ideology that's out of step, I think, with the vast majority of the people I represent.
One of the biggest difference between you and Representative Akin that was somewhat addressed in your most recent debate, but it is a big difference that I think voters need to hear more about, and that's the women's issue. Obviously, with his controversial quote, a lot of women's groups and women in general were very upset about his misguided comments on women's reproductive biology. But it's not just the it's not just reproductive biology. It's also equal pay that you brought up. And I want to hear some more of your thoughts on the women's issue.
Well, Todd Akin has, it's not what he said. It's what he believes that is the problem. But what he has said opens a window into his viewpoint that I think should be frightening for women in our state. He believes that a rape victim who accesses emergency contraception after a rape should be criminalized, that the availability of emergency contraception should be outlawed, and that if it were provided, that would be against the law. I think that's about as extreme as you can get. And I think that while no woman should ever, be forced to make a decision after a rape as to whether or not she wants to take emergency birth control, certainly no woman should be denied that choice. I think that's fundamental. And then we have equal pay for equal work. Todd Akin has said, and frankly, the first time he said it, I was astounded. And then he doubled down several different times. He does not believe that the government has a role in enforcing equality in the workplace. He thinks freedom means that a boss should have the freedom to discriminate. He basically has said that the employer has the right to negotiate any wage he wants to negotiate with anyone. And if a woman agrees to take less money, then it's none of the government's business. And so that kind of turns a lot of things on its head, I think, for women. If you have two registered nurses working at the university hospital, and they both have the exact same academic background and qualifications, they're working in the same unit in the hospital, and they've been there the same amount of time, there should not be a differential between those two nurses based on whether or not they're a man or a woman. And that's what the equal pay law is about. It is a constitutionally protected premise that we should have equality in this country. And I don't think that Congressman Akin's view about equality matches the way most Missourians see equality. And I certainly don't think most women think that freedom means the freedom to discriminate against you because you're a woman.
So there is a small group of women that do have come out to support Representative Akin. If you could talk to them, what would you tell them?
Well, I believe that Congressman Akin views are harmful to women. I was a single mom for a number of years. I remember what it was like to wait and pick up my dry cleaning when I got my next paycheck. I remember clipping coupons to save money so that I could take my kids on a vacation. Women, this is an economic issue for women. And there are many, many women. In fact, the vast majority of women in the workplace are there because they're trying to take care of their families. This isn't some kind of sachet into the workplace for recreational purposes. This is bread and butter. And I just hope that women take a hard look at all of Congressman Akin's positions as they make up their mind on the first Tuesday in November.
Now, you've been the subject of several attack ads this election because of your voting record or your husband's business. Have any of these attack ads against you particularly hurt you or disturbed you more than the others?
Oh, it's always hard when they go after your family. You know, I joked the other day, if I'm running in an election and it's October, then the first thing that happens is the Lee's turn, and the second thing that happens is they attack my husband. I'm confused as to why Republicans are so anxious to celebrate the success of businessmen in this country through the free enterprise system, and except when it comes to the guy who married me. And the ads are not true. They are terribly unfair and distorted. I'll just leave it at that. I think Missourians know that this kind of campaigning usually comes when someone's behind and desperate, and it's really unfortunate, and it's hard on my family, but this has happened before, and Missourians see through this kind of stuff, and I frankly think people are really tired of these, you know, dark pictures and music, and, she's so corrupt and evil, and I just don't think people buy it. I think they know I've spent 30 years in the public domain, and have been very transparent about who I am and what I am, and I believe that this election will be decided on the differences between Todd Akin's positions and my positions. I find it kind of sad that Todd bragged about his positive campaign in the primary and how he would never attack someone's family or assassinate their character, and then he has proceeded to do just that in the general election.
So today a poll came out and has you leading Akin by 2 points. Is there any campaign tactic that you'll use in the next week and a half to maybe try to grow that lead again?
Well, I'm not sure that poll is accurate, to tell you the truth. As you might imagine, in a campaign of this size and scope with the kind of pressure that we feel, there's a lot of polling going on. And the nice thing about when you poll internally, you're not trying to get any results because you just want to know how you're doing. So we are very comfortable that our lead is more than 2 points, But I'm, in some ways, I'm glad that poll came out because I want to remind everyone how important it is to participate here. I think there may be some people around Missouri that actually believe because Todd Akin has said the things he's said and done the things he's done that they don't need to worry about this election. And I think this poll is a good reminder to everyone that we can't take anything for granted. Everyone needs to participate. We need lots of volunteers. I hope people call the office in Columbia and put in an hour or two making some phone calls and helping us knock on doors in the closing week of this campaign. We are going to work as hard as we know how. I only campaign one way, and that's as if I'm behind by 10. And so that's the way we're going to campaign this last week.
Great. I spoke with a voter the other day, a small businessman, and in Moberly, and he said he's still torn between you and Representative Akin because he doesn't know if he can trust a guy who thinks about basic biology so incorrectly and say that and believe that. But then he also doesn't know if he can vote for one of Obama's biggest supporters. So why should a seemingly conservative voter, a businessman, choose you over Todd Akin?
Well, I think it's important to look at my record and not just buy the notion that I am anybody's handmaiden. I have been independent. I support the president, and but at the same time, I've been very focused on cutting regulations, and that some of them that the Obama administration tried to push through, and I blocked. I have been willing to say no to the president on a number of big-ticket items that he supported. I really, the reason I'm in the middle, you know, you go 1 to 100 liberal to conservative, the reason I'm number 50 is because I don't always agree with my party. When Republicans want to get something done, they ask me to work with them, whether it's Senator Ayotte, Senator Portman, Senator Rubio, Senator Toomey, Senator DeMint. All of these are Republican senators that I have worked with to pass legislation that brings down federal spending, that stops earmarks, that curbs regulations. So I hope that that businessman in Moberly looks at the whole picture and realizes that if President Obama were campaigning in Missouri, he would say, you know, yes, Claire McCaskill supports me, but she can be a real pain in the you-know-what because I'm not a reliable vote. Just because my party is for it, I do really try to look carefully at an issue and try to listen, especially to small businesses in Missouri, as to what they need. I would tell you the business support I have in this campaign is unprecedented. It's hard to find businesses in Missouri that have not been supporting me. I really have been gratified by the bipartisan nature of my support, particularly among Missouri's business community.
Now, if you could grow, or what would you do as senator again to help grow or foster the growth of small businesses in the state?
Well, we've cut over $1 trillion in taxes for small businesses. I want to make sure that we get the estate tax exemption permanent, $5 million exemption, 35% rate, which is what we have now. I want to make sure we get that extended. I want to make sure that our tax code quits picking winners and losers. There is large multinational corporations that can use all kinds of tricks in the tax code to avoid taxes completely, whereas the small businessman that owns the three dry cleaning shops in the community, they are ended up paying a very high corporate rate. So I want to make sure that we continue to focus on that, make sure that while some regulations are important, and we can't lose sight of the fact that mothers in our country aren't worried that their children are going to die from drinking the water like they do in so many other countries. So we have to maintain a framework of environmental regulations, but we also have to have common sense and make sure that we're not asking our businesses to jump through too many hoops that are just regulatory nightmares as opposed to really the kinds of regulations that are absolutely essential. So I think that is, both those things are important, and getting our deficit and debt under control. I think Missourians want someone to go to Washington that's capable of saying no. When I stood up and said no to earmarks, that was really hard to do politically. It was painful for me, especially. I mean, I had so many friends in Missouri, like the University of Missouri and others, who had been used to getting earmarks through the favor factory. it was hard for me to say no to the earmarking process, but I knew it was the right thing to do because the culture was breeding overspending in the federal level. So I hope that the business folks out there realize that I am going to be somebody who's going to try to get at this spending level and get at our debt and deficit in the long run. That's the most important thing I can do for economic growth.
If you could go back in time 6 years and talk to yourself, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
Well, I think the advice I would give is to be fearless. You know, there were a few times at the very beginning and when I first got there that I very unwisely listened to my party's leadership and took them at face value. And then I learned later that they were wrong about something. So I think being fearless, being willing to stand up to anybody and anything if you think it's the right thing to do. I'm very comfortable doing that now because I've had some experience. But my first probably year in the Senate, I was, I was new and I probably relied too much on some of the advice I was getting from some of the party elders and not enough on my own gut instinct. So I think being fearless is an important part of the job. At the end of the day, it's really important to keep sight on the fact it's not whether or not you get reelected that is the most important thing. What is the most important thing is that our country remains strong, our economy remains strong, and that Missouri families feel good about the future.
Well, Senator McCaskill, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know you're busy, and our thoughts are absolutely with you and your family right now with your mom.
Thank you, Chris.